I'm surprised that there are many of us, as there are here this morning, considering the snow. I mean, granted, it was a light, fluffy snow and easy, relatively easy to move around in, but snow does kind of a shock to our systems, considering how much we've actually had this year, not much. So good to see you all. Again, remember to read your bulletins, and then before the service, we are scrolling the bulletin through the announcements up on the screen. So feel free to come in before the service starts to watch that. You don't have to wait until the service is ready to begin, or even after it starts, to come into the sanctuary. Just a thought. Okay. Let's turn to Proverbs. Chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 20 through 33, I believe, is. Yes. Proverbs chapter 20, chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. And wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and terror and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons that you give us, these lessons for life which we can apply to our everyday. Lord, we ask right now that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, or to give us supernatural understanding, that which is beyond the wisdom of man, but Lord, does indeed listen to wisdom's cry and adhere to your direction and follow your advice. Lord, might we take your rebuke and prosper from it. Father, we come before you this morning seeking to worship you. As we come before you to worship you in the study of the Word, may we open up our hearts and our minds to listen for you this morning, to hear what it is you have to say to us, Lord, not what it is we wish to hear, but what it is you would have us to hear. Father, I pray that as I preach, I would indeed be speaking out of the overflow of your infilling. Lord, if I speak out of my own strength, I speak nothing that is of value. But Lord, if I speak out of the empowerment and the leading of your Holy Spirit, I speak that which is of eternal value. Lord, let that which is spoken this day be of eternal value. And might it be of value to each person here. May each one be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Again, we are starting in our study of Proverbs. It's going to take us a while to work our way all the way through the book. The first week I spoke on the aspects of poetry of Proverbs and the parallelisms and the alliterations that are there. And also the fact that it, as a proverb, it's a general truth. It's not that that mathematical equation 2 plus 2 equals 4. Granted, if you take calculus, you can make 2 plus 2 equal something else. But we're talking if I take two apples and then I take two more apples, I got four apples. That's truth. Every time. That's not necessarily what Proverbs is. Proverbs are truths, yes, but they're general truths for our lives. As I stated earlier, if I change the oil on my car and take it for regular service, I am less likely to have a breakdown, a mechanical breakdown. I wrote my own proverb. It said, he who changes his oil does not have a roadside breakdown, or something like that. Okay. That's a general truth. You can still break down even if you do all the maintenance, do it right. That's the nature of things. But the person who doesn't do maintenance is much, much, much more likely to have that breakdown. We're looking at wisdom today. And we need to look a little bit aside before we look at the text and see what it says about the personification of wisdom here. In the book of Proverbs and throughout Scripture as a whole, we see that wisdom is often personified. When we look at the culture, it raises some questions. Who is this woman wisdom? Who does wisdom represent when wisdom has been personified as a woman? I mean, we're looking at a misogynist culture. That is a patriarchal, a man-dominated society. We talk about Father God in heaven, yet we know God in heaven is beyond a sex. He's not a man or a woman. God is God. But yet we find that wisdom, who's represented here as a woman, has traits of deity, has aspects of God, speaks at times with God's voice, sometimes in the first person, sometimes in the third. These ask questions. You know, is this another aspect of God? All I can tell you is, I don't know. But I can tell you that God didn't do this by accident. So what is it that He's trying to show us? What do we know? What can we pull from this fact that wisdom here is represented as a woman? Okay, I'm going to give you my take on this because I'm the one up here preaching. This is a patriarchal society. And the husband is indeed the head of the household. But here we see wisdom, the woman, is the font of knowledge. Now, she is spoken of with respect and listened to. They are counseled that what she says is of importance, not just so-so, but even eternal importance. And I would propose, again, this is me proposing this, that God did this on purpose to keep even this patriarchal society from devaluing women, but recognizing their intrinsic value and the wisdom that they see. I see things from one angle. Donna sees them from another. When I have her wisdom plus my wisdom, we are much, much wiser than just either one of us by ourselves. It's one of those synchronistic things. This is where 2 plus 2 actually equals 8. Or in our case, 5. We got 5, right? No. So, unless you add the dog and the fish and the bird. But, okay. We got a bunch. But I think that's an aspect of why it's there. Why wisdom has been personified as a woman. It is a feminine. For whatever reason, the Hebrew has made wisdom a feminine word. And she speaks with authority and truth. And she does so in this situation as a prophet would, as Isaiah, as many of the others, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, many of these prophets, they stood out before the people and they spoke. And you know what? The people weren't real glad to hear them. Because what they said was convicting. And what they had to say was difficult to receive. How many of us like to be told that we're not behaving well? No. I'm not seeing a lot of hands go up. No. Nobody, none of us really enjoy it. But yet, if we're wise, we will receive it. But wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. This wasn't the place of the everyday woman, but this is the place of wisdom. And she's crying out as a prophet would, crying out with God. And this cry is not a cry of gentleness, but one of rebuke. I mean, the words which she uses when she begins her cry. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? Let me translate in today's vernacular. You idiots! How long are you going to be like this? You are stupid! That is Bruce's translation in today's vernacular of that. Okay? So she's not endearing herself to the people. She's telling them, you're not behaving well. And she's not doing this in a quiet way, but in the public square. Oh, let's see, where would that be equivalent of today? How about the mall? Every teenager loves to have it out with the folks at the mall in front of their friends in the world. This is pretty much what's going on. Wisdom is speaking out and bringing rebuke. Now, rebuke is more than just saying, hey, you idiot, you stupid head, whatever. It's saying, you're doing something wrong, stop it, change your direction. That's a rebuke. It's not just beating somebody up with it, saying, that's dumb, that's not right. It's saying, you need to change your direction. That's a rebuke. And she brings a rebuke. If you had responded to my rebuke, she says, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. So, which parent, if you said, you know, they go to their kids and they say, you're not doing it right. You're heading for an accident here. You're looking to just to have a major problem in your life. What parent, if the child turned around and said, I am? Could you tell me more about how not to do that? Wouldn't just drop their teeth. But that's what our response is supposed to be when correction is brought to us. I've had people come to me and basically say that to me in my role as pastor. And I have needed that correction at times. I was told that I was behaving inappropriately, that I point fingers. I can't talk now, but I try real hard. I take the rebuke, and I said, how am I doing that? Okay. Then I work not to. That's listening to the rebuke, recognizing the honesty and the truth of it, and then trying to live it out, learn from it. I would have made my thoughts known to you. But here's the problem. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, stop. I used to work as a lifeguard. I've told you all this before. Wisdom is like a lifeguard, except wisdom behaves in a different manner than what we would consider appropriate for a lifeguard. Wisdom says, you know, you've had way too much to eat, and you've had way too much to drink, and you're wearing a set of bib overalls. Don't go swimming. Why not? I'm going swimming. Stop. Come back. Don't go. Into the deep end, down to the bottom. I pulled a man up from the bottom. He died for the exact same thing. Wisdom says, you go in that deep end, you're thrashing around. I'm just going to stand on the shore and I'm going to laugh. I'm not going in after you. I called you and I warned you. I said, don't do it. How many times have we ended up in a difficult situation where we've been warned, don't go there. Don't do that. And then when we get there and we're in the midst of it, we say, help. What we're being told here is, don't expect any. You're going to have to eat the fruit that you have purchased. That which you have created in your own life, it's your own to reap. The scary part is this might be God talking to us. And if we don't live the way God wants us to, and He says, stop, don't, and then we get in the midst of those difficulties and those troubles. And we say, oh, God, now come help me. I'm drowning. You know, I'm drunk and I'm throwing up because I ate too much food and I'm wearing bib overalls. But, you know, it's not my fault I'm out here in 12 feet of water. And God's going to turn to us and say, too late. You're going to have to face this consequence. Yes, we have the supposition that God will rescue us in times of trouble. But don't base your life upon it. God will give us rescue, eternal, but He will yet allow us to face the penalties of here and now. Yes, there are exceptions to the rule. Yes, sometimes God does miraculously intervene. But to live our life based upon the theology that God loves me so much that He's going to reach out His hand to stop me because I'm facing a difficult time, this is telling us, don't even think about it. That's not going to happen. You're going to face the consequence and God's going to stand there and say, ha, 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 I told you. I've done it with my own kids. Oh, come on, tell me none of you have ever done that with a kid or somebody else. You said, I told you not to do it. Didn't I tell you don't do that? Yeah. And we go and do it. We're told that if we do that, we will face those consequences. That's wisdom speaking to us. Listen to the rebuke. When wisdom says, stop! Stop! That's God speaking. Saying, you know, that's not necessarily a good idea. Oh, it's not? What's wrong with it? And listen. Stop. Listen. Don't go forward and rush in. Yes, we have these examples. You know, there are, you know, he who hesitates is lost. But you have that coupled with, look before you leap. So you get these kind of things going back and forth. Where do we sit with this wisdom literature, with this Lady Wisdom? Wisdom's call. Well, let me go back to verse 7 of chapter 1. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Verse 22, last part, says, how long will mockers delight in mockery, and fools hate knowledge? Remember, knowledge here, the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord and following Him. To seek wisdom, to listen to wisdom, is to seek and follow the Lord, to fear Him. Holy fear. We're not talking fear of a bully. We're talking that fear that is between a child and a parent that will bring discipline if things are not done the way they're supposed to. I knew as a child that if I did certain things, the wrath of my parents would come, would fall. But I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that even as they brought the wrath, they loved me. As a matter of fact, they would bring the wrath because they loved me. I wasn't quite sure how that worked yet at that point. But I knew it because they weren't shy with the hugs. Either. But if I needed it, I got the discipline. Discipline that was appropriate to me and my situation, whatever it was that I had done. Sometimes it was something as simple as sitting in a chair. There was more than once where I was told to drop my drawers and grab my ankles. I won't go into that any farther. Just to say that it was necessary. I was stubborn, and I still am. But I'm less stubborn now than I used to be, believe it or not. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. See, if we don't listen to wisdom, we're just like, it's okay, it'll be fine. C'est la vie, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Okay, I do a bad Doris Day impression. But that was Doris Day, for those of you who weren't sure. Kevin's having a difficult time over here. Let's just pray for him for a moment. But if we're just complacent, if we don't care, we're going to get caught up in it and we're going to end up having to face the consequences of that not caring. We need to be proactive. Listen. If you listen, truly listen, it elicits a response. If I was to stand up here and yell fire, and it was because there was a fire, and you listened to me, you would respond. We need to listen. And whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Now that does not mean that whoever follows wisdom will never face any difficulties or trials, because we have the example of Job and we know that we go through those testings and trials. But I would submit that we have no fear of harm. Ultimately, we know that we're with God, and that even if in the most difficult situation, even in the most dire circumstances, we can be without fear. And even in the midst of our tears and sorrow, we can be filled with joy. God has those juxtapositions. And we need to live with those. We need to listen to God's Word. When God's Word says that there's fire, we need to get up and get out of the building. Then we don't need to fear any harm. But if we're standing there going, la, 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 we're going to get burned. The call of wisdom. Wisdom's call. When she calls to my son, when she calls to the people of Israel, this is an example of one of those words where it means the entirety of the people. Even though it's in a masculine noun, pronoun here, what we have instead is it's speaking to men and women. It's speaking to all of us, all who seek to follow God, all who seek to be children of Abraham, all who seek to be children of the promise. It's for each of us. We need to listen closely. For whatever reason, wisdom has been personified as a woman for this male culture. Again, I would just say one more time, I think that's to help us value that other perspective and to listen more closely. Studies have been done, and for whatever reason, not sure why, but men seem to pay closer attention to a woman's voice. They listen closer to it. God knows that too, doesn't He? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for wisdom's call. Lord, may we hear the rebuke in our lives. And might we seek the instruction that wisdom has for us. Lord, might this instruction bring us to a walk which is closer to you, and a life which is filled with your blessing and with our being a blessing. Now, Lord, might we each one be encouraged. Might we know that you are there and you are calling to us. Might we each one listen before it's too late and we have to face the consequences, which you would wish we didn't have to. But whether it's due to your just nature or your loving nature, which sometimes requires you to allow us to go through those difficulties for our benefit, and sometimes it's your holy nature, Lord, which requires us to go through those difficulties for the benefit of the kingdom. Lord, might we not go through them alone, but might we go through them with you. Because we have listened to your wisdom, and we walk with her counsel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.